Sadama Meditation Society, Virginia. Full Retreat 2016, the 7th day, December 6th. Interview English Myanmar Group.
In my practice, often awareness will kind of direct me towards a somewhat of a three-part distinction of objects. And I just want to ask Sayadaw if I am mistaken that this is useful.
Okay.
My awareness seems to, what I seem to see is, for instance, that there is, say, the physical objects that I am perceiving by looking. And then there is the object of the sense of sight, mm-hmm. that is kind of above that. Mm-hmm. And then there is the awareness.
Okay.
And similarly for hearing or thinking, there's the content of the thought, then there is, and that is in a way the object of the thinking, which is the object of awareness.
Yeah.
But usually the teachings talk about just awareness and object. Is it useful to have this extra layer, or should I just see it all as objects that are equal?
To three time, don't say she there. Umma, the D she there, the D I am she there, the D I am yet Pinya she there. D don't go to me, Umma, me and Ama, a Pinya, PC or D there, me and a single, me and
the
ball D there.
เนี่ยตะโบดีเลยตะดิชีเราดีเลยสิ้นซ้ายสิ้นซ้าได้อตรีชีเลยสิ้นซ้าเนราชีเลยตีเนราชีเลยดีโหลโหปกติส่วนอายุนั้นที่เสร็จไปเยอะเลยว่าอะกูโหอ่ะปัญญาปะปะเลยสรุปตีเนเลยดีฮะอะต้องชีลาครับใช่ว่า
This is good To clearly see the distinction between the reality, which is the awareness and its immediate object, which is the sensory experience, and the concept that that is part of the sensory experience, to be able to distinguish it, he says it's important, it's necessary.
So the word he would use for the
contents.
Is
content
or concept?
The same.
Yes.
The content is a concept.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
okay.
But we cannot get rid of concepts. We must not try to remove concepts from our experience. We must end up recognizing that the concept is a concept and the reality is a reality. That's what we need to do. Right? So then we are actually recognizing that component of these components of the mind at work, these functions of the mind at work, perception is at work, and awareness is at work, and so there is wisdom in there is clarity in the seeing, there is understanding of the different natures of what is being experienced. He says, in the ideas of concepts and reality, he says, yogis often get mixed up and they think that they have to remove the concepts or not know the concepts. But in fact, he says, what we need to do is know the concept and the reality distinctly, because they are different natures, but not because they are different.
Mm-hmm.
Because in fact, what we are doing is conceptualizing the reality that we know. Yeah, so concept is not so different from reality, but it's a conceptualization of the reality, because that's the only way that we can understand it is through the perception. Yeah.
That is very useful for me to have another word other than object to talk about the other layer. So that's
right.
Good.
You know, one of the definitions of wisdom is that it can discern, right? It discerns, it differentiates, it can tell the difference between things. So this is a layer of understanding that's necessary. So at a basic level, Seattle talks about just the awareness and the object, right? The knowing and the knowing. But he says when you've gone sort of beyond basic, when you know more, he says that means wisdom is part of the awareness. Wisdom has started to work in the awareness, and that's why there is a distinct understanding of the different natures of what you're observing. So that's why Seattle so often says that it's not enough to just see the object. We must see what the mind is. What the mind is knowing, because when the mind changes, when the mind understands differently, the mind sees the objects differently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we must be in touch with the mind and its view.
And a follow-up to that is that when dealing with objects of mind, it seems that for me, that distinction becomes less clear where to draw it. My wisdom is not able to discern. Is anger the reality object, or is anger the concept of the mind?
No. The person you're angry at is the concept. The story is the concept. Don't be right.
Well.
Say good to you.
Yes, there is that, but it almost sometimes appears that there's a fourth when dealing with the mind, but I think that might be delusion.
Like the concept of thinking that you're angry, like almost believing it.
Well, yes, just in the way that. I think I'm answering my own question. in the way that anger is perceived by the mind. So, you know, I said the physical objects are perceived by seeing, and seeing and mind are two sense doors. So what the mind perceives immediately is anger. And what the anger is directed at is a person. So then there would be awareness of mind, mind of anger, and then anger of... But that mind of anger doesn't exist.
Yeah, because the mind is like a ball that holds all these things, like the awareness, the anger, everything is in the ball.
Yes.
Which is mind.
Yes.
Well, that's how I think of it. စိတ်ကိုကြည့်ရင်းနဲ့သူကစိတ်ကလေးစင်လို့ဖြစ်နေတယ်တဲ့သူကဒေါသကိုပဲသူကဒေါသဖြစ်ညာနေလားလို့သူစိတ်ထဲမှာအဲ့လိုစဉ်းစားမိတယ်တဲ့တပည့်ကပြောတယ်ဒေါသကတဘာဝဟုတ်ဒေါသကိုပြညာနာမဟုတ်ဟိုဒေါသဖြစ်နေလို့ယုံနေတဲ့ထင်နေတဲ့ဆိုရင်တော့တမျိုးလို့ဒါပေမဲ့ဒေါသကိုသိနေတယ်ဆိုရင်ဒေါသဒေါသကိုဖြစ်နေတဲ့လူကပြညာအဲ့လိုမျိုးသူ့ကိုပြောတော့
ตัวดําเมตุสะกะลงตรงน่ะเนาะกูเมษิเมนะแท้มาตัวก็บอกว่าอเมนก็ปิสิโอตีดาแหละนี่ไปอ่าจําเมตุว่าเมนาเมนาปิสิโอตีดาแหละตีดาเมนาอูตีดาแหละอ๋อแล้วตะเบียดเมนไอ้เมนาอายุเนี่ยตีสิโอตีดาเอาไปเออเออแล้ว
So he says, when we think of the mind, we have to think of the mind as a flow, and also a conglomeration of many different functions arising and passing away together. So one mind is not one function. One mind is like a few tens of functions working at the same time. So you have awareness, which is, so to speak, aware of the anger, which is sharing space with it in the mind. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there are different qualities or functions that are sort of like milling together in the function room of the mind. Okay? So when you think of the mind, he says that you think of a river, and the river is made of many droplets of water, but each droplet, if it represents the mind, is also made of like millions of micro droplets of water. So he says, if we think of the way we experience the mind, and if we compare it to a river, Seattle says, it's as though we are standing by the riverside and we see the ripples in the water as they flow, as the water is flowing past. We see like bits of mud come in the water, we see clear water run past, we see sunlight dappling the water, we see all these different things happening in the water, but it's never just one droplet at a time. What we experience is a lot of minds happening together. So although theoretically the Buddha talked about one mind arising and passing away before the next mind arises, in our actual experience, because the Buddha has also said that in a moment, hundreds and thousands of minds arise and pass away, right? So our experience of a moment is already so many minds have passed. So what we experience as a moment of mind is already like many hundreds, thousands, or millions of minds already.
Right?
Because it's so fast. So we can't actually see it one mind at a time. And even if we did, every mind has all these qualities arising in the mind together. Yeah? So, and then you mentioned, you said in your description of seeing that the seeing sees the object. You said that? Or the seeing knows the object, you said?
I think I used the word perceives, but...
Okay, yeah.
It is received through...
It's received through the seeing, right? But the perception is already the work of the mind. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The seeing consciousness is just a function of seeing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I have one more question, but it's entirely unrelated, so I'd like to process this and ask later if there's time.
No, you can carry on.
No, just carry on.
Yeah.
No, I know. I would prefer to ask later.
Okay.
Okay, this question is regarding to how to observe or to awareness. One bhikkhu yesterday told me.
What
bhikkhu?
Yesterday
said. Yes, told me. When I walk from one point to another point, I need to be aware like a temperature, cold or hot. Also, I need to be aware of my, like when I see something.
The bhikkhu told you to do
this? To be aware of temperature. Do you aware of temperature? Or do I aware of my vocal when I talk, vocal vibration?
Mm-hmm.
I said no, because I didn't pay my attention to those parts.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, when we do this kind of practice, for awareness, do I need always to try to find all different things, or just be paying my attention to my, normally, firstly, when I do my awareness, firstly, I pay my attention to my stomach to feel the touch.
That's for sitting meditation.
Not only sitting.
Yeah.
You're walking, sometimes if I lost my awareness, in daily life, if I get lost, I know I totally lost my awareness. Always up, come back to my stomach to feel my body,
okay.
my mind and body connected.
Okay.
Then gradually I get my awareness. So the question is, the awareness should be like a gradually grow up to more angles, like 330 degrees, or I need to deliberately try to find all of this.
So Seattle says, generally we can do just what you are doing. That's fine. And if you find that you're doing the same thing for a long time, and then you want to expand a little bit, you can investigate, what else does the mind know? Not to look for something that you can't find, or go to something that's unnatural for you, but to just let your natural mind find what else is present, right? Because, of course, there's always a lot of things present, right? Sometimes Seattle says it's helpful for very subtle things that that the yogi might not detect on their own. It's good to give them a clue, sort of like when his teacher asked him why is there, why are you breathing? And then he found the intention. Or if yogis already know about intentions, that he asked them, do you see any when you're sitting still? And then it helps them to see, that there is.
So
if the yogi is already knowing some things, then it helps to just open up the path a little wider.
Light shine, when you don't have light shine, you don't do it.
But of course not when the yogi is, if the yogi's awareness is not stable yet and all that, you don't do that, right? If the yogi already it has quite established mindfulness and awareness, or awareness and, you know, the teacher sees that, you know, it might be helpful for them to explore, then, you know, he can give them ideas by suggesting things.
I have a question more of a reporting. During my sitting last night, when all things calm and the mind was able to aware of all the surrounding to the point that it's so quiet, to the stage of boredom, and I might watch boredom and see the boredom going until then at a point that it said, maybe we'll find some strong emotion and watch. So there's a mind that said, let's look for some strong emotion, and then think about the motherly love, like the love that I have for my daughter. Then the mind also, and then when the thought about the loving of my daughters, then I can go to this feeling, and then there was an aware of the vibration here, pleasant, and then the mind is aware of it, like that feeling, it like to stay in that stage. So that's that one of those that I observe. That's the attachment. The mind, the greed for this feeling, wants to stay with that feeling. That's greed. Attachment is greed. So at that time, at that point, you should be aware that it is just a stage of mind. It comes and it goes.
You have to watch it. Tua table lo nebi. Dao da se che nebe da la bi tua ma be tua table. Don't reflect it away. Don't think, oh, this is just a state of mind. It's going to come and go to that. Yes.
You
bring it in as a right view so that you can observe it, right? So you remind yourself, this is a state of mind. This is an object to be observed. And then you observe it. Yeah?
So that is with a pleasant emotion. What about with those scare, like something you scared of? And then can the mind remind it, say, this is just a stage of mind, it will pass. Like you are reassured, it will pass. Just calm down.
Just that simple, oh, you go to another level, yeah, like. That is simple. And she never do that. Too much,
right? Too much, right? So I'm not doing that.
He says you cannot say to yourself, it will come and go, because you don't know if it will go. Do you know whether it will go? Are you sure it will go? Are you still afraid? I mean, you know. So just tell yourself it's a state of mind. This is nature. This is a state of mind. Fear is the is one of the natures of the mind. Something that that the mind is able to feel is fear, right? What is fear? Right. So just as you watch greed, you can watch greed. Can you bring the same sort of attention to fear? It should be the same, right? They are just objects.
Be courage enough to just watch, let the fear absorbing you.
No, you watch it. You're not absorbed in it.
Right, you need to watch it to absorb
the fear. Yeah, if you can bring in right view, you won't be involved in the fear. You will see the fear as an object to observe, a feeling that also increases and decreases. Right? So,
and I also...
When you are absorbed in the fear is when you have not enough awareness. And when you are thinking about what you are afraid of. So the other day, Siyano said he had explained that sometimes yogis, especially when it comes to emotion, we are not clear about the distinction between knowing an emotion, like being an uninvolved observer, you know, and being an involved feeler of the emotion, because you also feel like you know the emotion when you're feeling it, when you're participating in the emotion, right? And he says, when we have right view, when we can bring in right view, we feel a bit more uninvolved. We can actually sort of step away from the emotion and observe it in a more objective way. Okay? But he says, when we are participating in the emotion, he says, at that time, we are not able to bring in right view. That's why we are still participating in the emotion. The emotion is still part of me, you know, and we are still thinking about what makes us afraid, right? We're still thinking about what makes us afraid or love or feel whatever we are feeling at that time. So because of these elements, we are involved in the emotion, even though we are trying to observe, but we are not only observing at that time.
When I walk past the mirror in the back wall, the mind can see the intention that I want to see yourself in here. When I talk, especially when I have a concern to some of the elderly in here, the mind can see the intention that you want to speak softly, you know, like a kind voice. So there is an awareness of the voice tone when speaking. And in the morning, I make a pledge that I'll try the best to be mindful on the day. So when I wake up in the morning, I make a pledge to myself. And when I have the imagination and there is unwholesome about those imagination, then there is a mind aware that that it's not just mental. It's just like seeing, aware of that, knowing there is an unwholesome imagination and not feeling guilty about it, because it's just by watching.
Are there any men who like to look in mirrors? I didn't translate what he said, as you can tell. Because he said when women pass by mirrors, they like to look in mirrors. He says it's just an association because, you know, probably women make up and stuff like that. So when they see a mirror, it's like the natural thing to do is to look
in
it. It's like almost automatic. We can't help ourselves. We check ourselves in the mirror. Okay. hold on. And then... the mirror, and then what? The gap you're in, why you the gap you're in? What? To, do you know what? To do, go you say lo, to attend leo, piao le, chota on to do, chen na le sing na piao ni da to, the gao le dan piao mo to do piao da to ti le, to do go go you say chen lo. Number, but le to ti ni man no jen to, the, oh, say ka, oh,
to go to promise period or pledge period or promise period to the ditabi ne me lo ba so ditabi ne chin
la yang be ya ba ren ba ni ba ren kaung ne.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. He says you set a direction for your mind for the day so that it will, at least it will keep remembering to be mindful. And then also nga tua di tu sei ta ma ai ma nak ka tu a ku tu sei ta khu sei ta ma po la le de da mae di ha o a twei ma ti lo tu sei ta ma guilty ma phi u le da a twei ba lo nyin le.
Hmm. Chi chi de ma ma nai ti sei so le twei sei ku twei sei ku ti le so da a ma nai ti da le.
Yeah.
Ai lo tu le. Ti le twei chao tu lut twa la.
And the last bit you said about not feeling guilty when you saw the akusala come in the mind because you could see that it was just imagination. You see, when we see what is happening for what it is, you know, we see the reality of what is happening as it is. This is just a thought. Then, yeah, he says, then no other defilements arise.
Right?
There is a defilement going on, but you see it for what it is, so you don't have another defilement about it. You don't have guilt. Right.
Wrong view, so you get
that. Yeah, but if we had wrong view, so that was right view, right? If you had wrong view, then other emotions will come in. Judgment, self-blame, all sorts of things. Right?
And my last question is, along those boredom stage of mind that I experienced, then there was a time of anxious. And then watch the anxiousness. And said, why is it anxious? The cause, well, maybe I just want the clock click at 9 so we can do the chanting, I can, the metta chant in the end of the day, so I can go back, shower and rest. So I can see those, I can follow the process why it anxious, but I would like to have a more understanding of that conscious, I mean the anxiety, the anxious. I would like to understand how that.
Were you watching it?
Yeah, I watch the anxiousness, and then my question, why anxious? Then I say, okay, because I want to get out of here. Mm-hmm. I want the clock click at 9 o'clock. I want it to go faster,
mm-hmm.
so I can see the cause of it. And but I like to understand more of, you know, how the mind works with the anxious stage.
If you want to understand more, just observe it more. Whatever you want to understand, he says, observe it more. Stay with it and observe it more, then you understand more about
object
it. Right? Remember, it's an object. And when you watch it continuously, it means you're staying with it. Right? He says, now instead of trying to get away from the boredom, you know, he says boredom comes in when the mind is not using its wisdom anymore. So it's kind of flat. Because we are never bored when the mind is alert and interested. You know, interest, he always says, is a function of wisdom. So when the mind is no longer interested, it's bored, which means the wisdom has gone. Right? So there's more delusion, so then there's boredom. The mind is spacing.
I'd like to report the only the significant and interesting Friday.
Well, significant and interesting, Hari,
I have more to report.
Okay.
Save some other time.
Okay.
So the awareness level going up as the day, the more time I spend here. Yesterday afternoon, with the walking meditation, I get aware, I feel the awareness of all the surrounding, feeling the heel touch the ground, soft part, the body moving. And there was a intention to walk, to visit Buddha scenery. So for the next stop, that's when the Buddha and the five, his first five students, when he gave the teaching, yes. I aware that his hand, the finger on the right hand, touch two finger, and the other hand, three finger, touch the right hand with three fingers. I remember a few days ago, say, touching, he's knowing, not touching, not knowing. So that stick in my head, and I have curiosity, but I walk away to the end of the path with awareness. Go back, sitting, even though I can aware of the sound, the up and down, the feeling of the rise, the tension of the abdomen, but notice that there's still, I still realize that they're still thinking about the image of Buddha out there. I try to decode it. What the message? What is the message? So I keep doing a routine, but still thinking, my still working. And why five? Touching is knowing, not touching is not knowing. So finally, make long story short, finally, there's six doors. Had to open it up, in touch with the wall outside, and get the information. And then think, and we'll discover something. So that's my finding at the end of the day. But then, interestingly, it seemed to be in line with the information the Sado gave it to the first question. And so I like to have his take.
No, so no, to blue song tell us about Paya, you two are let Shipya, Piazo, a let tea tarani, no lecadillo, top around. A yas in a bajon level, bajon, the Langa town, parliament, the girl, not finding no song tell there, or do I chop off she there, do I chop on there, a PM ban?
Are you talk about she there?
I'm talking about the governess as some of the people. Governess as some, and a guna patama who can name made a mego net to Tina net, the river, two red tin at the dwell of your.
Yeah, it's from that service on level. How did you don't have shop on and do a governess as the wall or they were born?
Right. He says, so continue investigating because, yes, we do use these six senses to relate the world to us, or relate to the world, or create our world, however it is. Yeah.
Simultaneously, just like the droplet, the thinking of the mind, it's like a droplet of the river.
Yeah, you can say that, isn't it?
Good to know. Yeah, I don't think I call.
Okay, good to know. So Sienna wants to ask you, you said that the longer you stay here, the more awareness you have, right? Why do you think you have more awareness the longer you stay here?
I think that before I come, my mind is occupied with so many thinking. And so I had a chance to
So why did the mind settle down?
Maybe because of the teaching, and I bring and apply. Right view, right view, right attitude, right effort.
That's one of the inputs, yes. One reason, one cause.
So what is other reason?
The child.
What are the other reasons?
Does he need to give you the answer? Should he give you the answer?
Please.
You don't want to find the answer yourself?
Well, maybe. Yes, maybe it will be until I will find myself until the end of the retreat.
Okay.
How about that?
On the last day, he will tell you. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's even. Or you answer first, and then he will answer.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Okay. Nothing strange. Everything is in your mind.
That's the answer?
No.
The answers are in your mind. He's just setting the boundaries for you. It's nothing strange or wonderful. He said, it's in your mind. The answers to his question are in your mind.
I see. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Morning, Sado. This is my report. I've been here for 7 days now. I say maybe I will try to do a one-day mindfulness as soon as I open my eyes. So this is my report. So before I even start this report, as everybody speak here, I feel the nervous, the tightness here. I observe the tightness. I was thinking, oh my God. The whole week, it looked like I'm slowing down and say if I improve myself. So I say, that's my thinking. So I say, that's just my thinking. Let it think. So it started to calm down a little bit. So, and it's not me thinking, so.
So who is thinking?
I'm not sure, I just say it's think. I guess that's your try to help me to calm down. So I'm asking my question, who's thinking? It's nobody thinking. It just think. So here's my report. So I set the alarm at 4:15 this morning. So as soon as I heard the alarm, my instant reaction to that is, where's my phone? So I turn over and I'm looking for a stop. And I just press the stop and I... Oh, it's 4:15, let's go back to sleep some more.
See, I wants to know, you know when you put your phone down at night, did you put it down mindfully?
Yes, I did put it right, turn it upside down, put it here, and I even verify it's 4:15 a.m.
Yeah, so when you woke up and you heard the alarm, right? And then your mind said, where's my phone? He said, why did your mind ask that question?
It's for whatever reason, I'm not mindful at that point.
He says, if your mind sort of like commits to memory, you know, when you put something down and it takes note, usually he said, when you want to have that object, the mind sort of goes straight to where it was.
So basically then I say so it's immediate, this awareness come in right away. Like as soon as I say I want to close my eyes, awareness right away from the past experience in me last by say in the last couple of days we never be able to get up to the meditation hall until I find something. So I say, I still have some time to sleep, and that's why I went back to sleep. I observed that and I see my feeling to see any guilt. It didn't see any guilt. Mm-hmm. So then I just went back to sleep until, as all of a sudden, the lights pop up. Like somebody turned a light. I heard the noise and then boom. Like I immediately observing, say, okay, let's open my eyes. So I started opening my eye, and as I open my eye, I see my hand moving upside down and touching the mattress. Mm-hmm. Then the other right hand side touching the mattress, and then I started sitting up. Mm-hmm. I observe my feeling to see, is there an ego to stand up, an ego to stand up? I did not see anything. Then immediately I look into the light, looking at the light of the bathroom door. To see if there's nobody in there.
So I,
then it's immediately coming back of the past experience again. They say, because last two times I will open the eye turning up with no awareness. Mm. The light was on, and I can't get in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I observed it, then the awareness disappeared, but then all of a sudden it come back again, and I noticed my hand reaching into the back and pull out the toothpick and then the toothpick. Mm, mm. Mm. So it's
good.
There's a lot of automatic things. It's like the mind and the action, it just happened so quickly with no awareness. So I walk to the bathroom, and I reaching my hand to the knob. But then all of a sudden the awareness disappears, so I'm not sure why I step in first or why I'm talking to my mouth first.
Right, right.
So I just walk in.
So this is very clear, right? You know when the awareness is clear, and
yeah.
You know when the awareness
it's
is not clear. Yeah.
So
that's good.
Then I walk in and just brush my teeth with awareness, one hand hold on to the water sink, and then the other brushing the teeth, and so continue when it went out.
The blocking is a whole in the mia sali. Only this is to directly bro in the uba mishi de man lushi ma bo. Era tu tani matami di deja tu matare.
So I went out, I acknowledged my hand, my left hand side, reaching the open the slash lock,
mm-hmm.
and then opened the door out as I stepped my left foot up at first.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember, then it disappeared. So almost like just walk down to the major mattress. And then sit down. As soon as sit down, I look at the clock. It's 5 o'clock. Then immediately my mind say, wow, we're getting lazier every day now.
Mm-hmm.
But I check the feeling again. It doesn't seem to be there. There's any guilt in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guilt. I just, well, it's late. It's like first 2 days we were in the meditation hall like 4:15. Today it's 5 o'clock. I'm still sitting on the mattress.
He says, but you are meditating. What do you mean you're late? What are you going to come and do here? He said.
That's a good question. I wasn't paying attention. Is that you consider a meditation at all? I wasn't considering a meditation at all.
It's an old belief.
Yes.
It's an old belief.
It's an old belief. So I talked to the guy in the room and say, wow, how lazy we are.
Oh.
But the weird thing is, as soon as I say that, the past experience comes back again.
Sound like you got more diligent today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mindfulness.
So the past coming back again about the we came early, the reason is to make sure the sayador, you know, breakfast and stuff,
mm.
and we have a good 1 hour meditation, but that seemed to be lacking. So the past has been coming back. But then I say, okay, it's fine. So as soon as I stand up, talk with the girl yogi, then Su Yan say, let's go. then I just walk out the door.
No mindfulness.
I just walk out the door with no mindfulness. I walk out the door. As soon as I step down the stair, immediately the experience from the past with Salvador walking mindfulness, I immediately just walk with not everything's open up. I aware of everything, and I walk all the way down to the door over here. Then I remember talking with Soyan about raining, the snow, and as soon as I walk in, I run into another fear. Because in the last couple of days, we were talking about everybody was sitting quietly, and we walk in, and then all this sound of walking through the door is kind of bothersome of the people, the noises.
Still bothering people?
I'm not sure. That's my mind was thinking that way. So I mindfully open, taking everything out. As soon as I walk out, I step at right that door with my left feet. As soon as I step, the crack make it. I say, who? So anyway, so I walk and I pay the respect, and then I sit down meditation. One thing I noticed in doing the 1 hour meditation, which is I was surprising only until Su Yan would put a tapping me, that's when I noticed the hour was over. What my experience looked like is when I remember the walking with Salvador, I bring it to the practice, I seem to my mind open it up. And I notice the sensation on these two hands right here is touching right here, and then it's touching the bottom here. There is no tightness. And I see all the objects, but it seems to be a not a clear, a detail kind of, I see all the objects. But as soon as my desire to say, I want to feel the object, I see the tension, the sensation starting moving in. And then it's a tight. Then I immediately acknowledge that tightness, and I say, oh, that's just an object. So then immediately the past experience walking with Salvador pop up. Then I can see it start moving out and it stay wide at these two areas. All time. Stay at that area. So then over suddenly thinking about the turn on the engine, warm up the car, it came up. I wanted to go thinking about the warm up the car and thinking about, oh, should I take the saddle over there? Why at 6 o'clock then he have to wait? Because, the nun is not prepared, it's not ready, so I'm afraid saddle walking around. Then I acknowledge, that's just thinking. There is a, then this time it disappeared. Then I come back and remember again. The problem with I have to remember of walking with Salvador. The way how I walk with Salvador helped to open up.
Notice you keep referring back to walking with Salvador.
For whatever reason, it keep reminding me of that. And every time it reminds me of it, it's a good experience. And then I come back, and until then at that point, Su Yan tapped me and say, okay. So that is the report. I'm not sure that I'm doing the right thing. But it seemed to be a lot of negative cut thinking in the head.
Sarah says, don't judge what you're observing. Appreciate that you are observing.
Okay, so you are aware, appreciate the awareness, never mind what you are aware of.
I think one of the witnesses not be able to be, I guess one of the witness I have is, I guess got to be one to be and ensure that I'm practice right. If
everybody has that.
Yeah, if I feel like I've been here a week and I don't see the improvement, I feel like oh my God, you look like you are a smart guy. You can't even do a simple thing.
Dabashimi, I told you that. The Lord of Maya.
It's an ego thing.
Oh, Tumashige Bali, who looked at knowing my own law of my body. Do you have any time? She
didn't.
Yeah, so you have improved, right? You have determined to be more mindful, and you have been more mindful today. He says we will never get as much as we want.
We will only get
as much as we work at it.
Just accept what it is.
Yeah. As much effort as you put in, that's what we'll get back. So we have to be content with the
result
of our efforts, because the result is commensurate with the efforts. But we should not be satisfied with the efforts, right? We have to always put in more effort, can always keep increasing. And I always hesitate using the word increase and all that with the word effort, as in like keep up the effort to, you know, keep your mindfulness continuous and, you know, every day, and maybe hopefully, you know, have it more frequent, that sort of effort to make the awareness more frequent, right? That we must always
have.
And Seattle repeats, right? He said, you remember when you were walking with him that, you know, you were aware in a very general way, and Seattle's, and you are concerned about not knowing each object clearly, and he says, you don't need to. He says, if you will keep the awareness continuous, although it's blur, if you will keep the awareness continuous, it will become clear by itself when it is continuous enough. Right? It is something for your mind's quality to develop. So instead of you trying to see things clearly, he said, keep the mindfulness continuous, and the mindfulness will become able to see clearly. So wait for that. Right? So instead of you, the person trying to do nature's work, he said, let nature do its work. Your only concern is to keep the mindfulness alive.
Our
only input is to strengthen that nature. And we know that to strengthen that nature, we have to allow that quality to arise in the mind again and again. So that's where we put our energies. He says this is a problem with all yogis who practice vipassana, is that, you know, we try in so much, we come in so much and try personally to make things happen, to make our practice right. And he says we are just not patient with letting the process happen, take place. You know, we need to let the process take place. Vipassana is about understanding the work of nature, or, you know, to understand nature and work. And to do that, we have to let nature sort of take its course. He says, and when we let it take its course, we are aware in a natural way. We may not see clearly, but we make effort at is to keep it continuous. When it gets continuous and it gains its own power, he says, then you will learn to trust nature and its process. But if you don't let that process take place, he says, you can never see the result of letting that process take place. So we always keep putting in our personal effort, and the defilement's always a little bit mixed in with our personal efforts.
And that's exactly the experience. It's like, it looked like my object is not the object of the outside, but object is the mind. my object where I focus in as an open mind. So that is the way to do. And when I observe that, is that where the object is, I can aware of the pain, I can aware of the sitting, but it's not as clear until I have a desire to looking at the object. That's when it's clear. But otherwise, it's just like I seeing a tree, but I don't look at the color of the tree until my mind shift to the leaf.
That's fine. So just leave the objects alone. You already know the objects, right? You recognize they are there. They're being known by the mind. It's not clear because you're not directly looking at the mind. If it's not important, you don't need to look at it directly. Okay? So all these the concepts or the objects or whatever, you know, when they're not very important, they're just part of the things the awareness knows, part of the flow that's going past. Okay?
Good morning. Dear teacher,
The mind
would like to report what happened in the meditation last night.
Slowly.
After I listened to the interview, and I come back to try to meditate. Awareness is will not come to me. I couldn't focus on anything. Not focus, I couldn't have any awareness. So I stand in the back of the wall, try find something, because I heard a teacher say, if you are not relaxed, it's hard to make a meditation good. I find some way to make my awareness better. So I stand, lean my back in the wall, and first I move my toe. So the movement like that, it can awake my awareness. I put my hand in the back of the wall, and I move my finger. For a while, my awareness coming. I am relaxing. I sit down on the back of the wall, but on the chair. Feel comfortable. The stock is coming. My very relaxing. My head. Feel something. Stop with my head a little, drawing. I feel like a little energy about it. Keep bigger and bigger. And it flowing to my body and go to my hand. But during that time, another mind still have some picture going in my mind. Mm-hmm. I recognize it's some of the yogi and teacher, some picture. Mm-hmm. But the moving is still moving, keep moving to my hand. My hand is moving. Mm-hmm. My hand, I feel my hand is moving. It moved to the front and the back and stronger to the front and the back and to the left and the side.
So my mind is
keep following.
So your hand is moving, or the energy is moving in your hand?
The energy. I feel it, but my hand is not moving.
Okay.
I feel it. I feel like energy. I feel the energy is moving. I feel like my hand moved, but it, when I look, it's not moved.
Okay.
But the energy, yes, it moved. But my mind keep watching. And after that, the hand moved around and stronger.
That energy is the mind.
So they come back to my body and my shoulder. And my body moved. My hands is stuck. My body is still. By that time, my ear is still hear the noise from somebody open the door. I'm still hear that. Close the door. I'm still my mind still recognize. And some noise it happened and somebody moved and I hear the floor is hearing from the floor moving. They keep moving like that. And my mind is keep like that for a long time. My mind is keep watching. It following the moving. My body is strong moving.
Is your body moving?
No, my body is not moving. I feel like energy is moving.
So you open your eyes when this sort of thing happens, okay?
Next time. Make sure, open the eyes.
Yeah. Next time when you feel this energy,
this morning,
open the eyes.
This morning it happened again, and I opened the eye. I make sure my hand is not moving, but my hand is stay.
But
I feel like the energy is move.
It's actually the mind thinking that something is moving because direction is concept. So this is imagination of the mind.
It's the mind.
Right?
Yes.
Imagination of the mind.
The mind is following this thing.
Yeah, it follows very strong.
And it's a picture. Yes, but you are picturing it. So then there's direction, there's concept.
Yeah.
So you should not follow it. Open your eyes
and meditate.
So that you don't.
So my mind, another mindset.
Yeah, this sort of thing, you know, if the mind is inclined to these things and you have a lot of, if you have too much samadhi, too much concentration, it can be very dangerous because your whole body will start moving and stuff like that, you know?
But just a feeling, it's not a body move.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Feeling.
Right. Good. Keep it like that.
I feel like the energy move. It's not my body. That's, I know.
You should just know the energy, the feeling of the energy. If it's moving, it's a concept. You should stop.
Yeah.
You
so,
know?
Another mindset, no story today.
Yeah.
Usually, I see
story.
A lot of stories.
No story.
But today,
is
no. Another mindset, no story. And it keeps moving like that. And my mindset, stop. It's too long. And I couldn't open my eye. So it's the movement. But whatever happened, my ears still here.
Siara said, when you cannot open your eyes, it already means you're concentrating too much on what you're observing.
So,
okay? There's too much energy that you're using. You need to relax more.
Yes.
Okay?
So
it's very light.
So the move, it comes to my heart. It comes to my heart and watch out. Watch out at my heart movement for a while and my eye open.
So you remember from today, okay?
Yeah, I remember.
Not to follow that movement. Do not follow that movement. That is a concept. Movement is concept. Okay, it's not reality. If something is moving, it's your mind is thinking about it. It's not being aware. If you're aware, it's just feeling. It's not moving, it's not going, it's not, okay? It's not going left, right, up, down. Okay, if it starts going left, right, up, down, around,
change the object.
Stop following it. Change the object. That's already an imagination.
Yeah. That's why another mind say stop.
Yeah, so you need to open your eyes and then relax and then just follow something new. Not follow.
Obvious,
watch something that's obvious and neutral. Okay? Don't follow that energy. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. And one question. When we watch TV or reading so that we can manifest in that way?
When you watch TV?
Or reading.
Yeah.
It's the meditation.
If you are skillful at being mindful, you can be mindful while you read and you can be mindful while you watch TV, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so make it a habit, yeah? Practice a lot so that you can be mindful when you read and watch TV.
Reading, watching,
he says when we read or we watch TV, the mind is doing a lot of work, so it's easy to get into the reading or into the what we are seeing on TV. It's difficult to remain aware. Okay, we get sucked into the story of the reading or the TV. So, you know, you really have to practice awareness all the other time to make it continuous and natural so that at that time the mind can be more naturally aware that you're reading or watching TV. Yeah, you have to be skillful at recognizing that this is the mind that is aware, right? Okay. And the mind is doing all these things. So the mind is your object, the mind is watching TV, the mind is reading, the mind knows meaning, the mind is, you know, interpreting and all that. So you have to know that the mind is doing all this, then you'll be aware. Okay?
Okay, here's my report. No, I'm just kidding. Just real quick question. There's a lot of information, and I'm still practicing. I do have a lot of questions, but I know for sure the Sadhya answer is keep practicing. So I will do that. No more questions. Keep practicing. Just real quick question. Is there a difference between the technique and all the things that we practice this week versus the mindfulness that the Plum Village that's also practicing?
We don't know what they practice in Plum Village.
Okay. That's from the Master Ditnya Pan, so I'm not sure if Sadhya
know.
Okay,
he doesn't
know,
what
that
there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
No idea. He only teaches what the Buddha teaches. That's the way he knows it.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
So exciting. This is my first group question in a couple of years, I think. And because you were here, then I'll just ask a technical question with your translation. So this question relates to an aspect of the relationship of manasikara. In your miso manasikara, attention. So in the beginning, the mind, there was more conscious directing of the mind to the mindfulness, to the sampajanya, to the different aspects of the sampajanya, suitable, beneficial, gochara, and asamoha. And then into the aspect of zeal or enthusiasm, which the mind understands more as a kind of right perseverance at this point, that third aspect of yonito manasikara. But now, over time, it seems that the wisdom aspect of yonito has now moved behind the manasikara, so that the wisdom appears to naturally be directing the intention to look, to pay attention to these different aspects of consideration, and moving to mindfulness, moving to suitability, to beneficial, to the field of awareness, moving through these different aspects on its own. And then oftentimes encountering the view, looking at the view and looking at the different objects. And these things appear to be happening simultaneously. The different types of looking at the object before were more one at a time. Now they seem to be happening more rapidly, analyzing at different aspects more quickly. And then there is the sense of understanding about the experience in the moment, where the understanding seems to come together into this sense of understanding, into a sense of unification. And my question here is that aspect of understanding where the attention of the mind is bringing together, it's moving to these different aspects. What is the relationship? Well, how to ask? So that's happening. Is that bringing together of the different pieces of information that the attention has looked at, is that, I don't know how to say in Pali, Burmese Pali, ekagrata, the one-pointedness, is that integration, that unification, is that the one-pointedness that is the aspect of samadhi?
Ikekada is about concentrating on one object. It could be a concept, it's just putting your attention on one object until the mind is absorbed into that one object.
Concentration or one pointness of ayodhakuryodena.
So it's one point. It has nothing to do with wisdom.
So in the
it is just about one-pointed concentration. It's about focused concentration on one object to the exclusion of everything else. It has no wisdom in it.
Well, it's listed as one of the universal factors in every state of consciousness in the Abhidhamma. So
the way you're using the word ekekada is, or the way he's defining it is in the commentaries. It's in the jhanic factor, in the jhanic factors, yeah.
Right, I understand. My question is how... If that isn't it, then how is it?
So that, if you talk about the universal mental factor, that one is just the factor that allows the mind to be able to know an object, and that's very minimal.
Okay, so in this. So in the case of Yonito Mansakara, how would ekagata be functioning?
Yonito Manatikara
ma ekagata balo lolo le. Lungo. Mapao. Yonito Manatikara atui u nyame.
Nanu Mansakara.
is right.
It's
a function of wisdom. It's not the function of ekekada.
Ekekada
is another
function
of the mind.
He's never
it may support. It may support it in the sense that it is a factor that's always present, so that there's stability enough for the mind to have attention, so that, you know, understanding can arise, but never as a part of yonisomanasikara.
Right thought, yeah.
Yonisomanasikara is right thought or right attention.
Yeah.
Ekakada is not part of it as far as he
so
understands.
Is it stabilizing? Is it the stability factor of the manasikara? Is that how it's functioning?
No.
They're all different factors, each doing their own job.
So that's what I'm trying to understand, is in this, how is it working?
Stability of mind, yes.
If you're talking about samadhi, it can be part of it, right? It can be the...
Yoni tamani ni kajang tamani pide, alu biyo ya. Stability ya le.
So yoni samanasikara... Yoni samanasikara, right thought, enables stability as well.
Already.
And stability also supports right thought.
Tamani lu biyo ya. Se kiniga u... One point of... Eke kata jaro, concentration is like.
No, da me se te a ei hua jaro. A shen piya piya, one point it ka tua.
ผัวเรามาตัวอัตถกถาเรามาผัวเรามาไม่รู้ผู้อภิธรรมเรามาตัดตัดไอ้ 1.1 ไอ้ไอ้กระดาษอ่ะไอ้ไอ้กระดาษ
don't know the Pali. I know it's not even important. Just forget the whole thing. It's just confusing because in the suttas and the commentaries and the Abhidhamma, sometimes the same word is used, but they're used in different ways, and it's confusing. So he's, you know, the teacher's defining ekekada, he's saying ekekada is one point of concentration, which is the way it's defined in the commentaries. He's asking about a universal mental factor that's ekekada, which is in the Abhidhamma. If it's universal, it's not about one point of concentration. And then in the suttas, it's not even mentioned at all. So, you know, it's like, let's not even go there. This is something you need to ask somebody who's learned in the scriptures, not Seattle.
Well, this is a meditative aspect. That's why I was curious.
Maybe Unandamala would be a good person to answer that question, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the time.
So I generally am like a super faith person, and I experienced doubt last night, and I just wanted to, I've never experienced it before, so I'm trying to wrap my head around it. It comes off I found that I don't know the steps leading up to it very well, so, but I did see that there was a lot of aversion happening, and as I'm allowing myself to be with this, I kind of have the thoughts are, it's, I guess the wisdom and the awareness is tricky because I haven't experienced this so much, so I feel like the awareness drops quickly and thinking prioritizes itself in terms of doubt. Just wanting to know how to work with doubt, similar probably since it's new for me, other than as the other.
เวเวปูปูว่าเรตูตริฐาโพแค่ล่ะเรตริฐาโพเม่ล่ะเรอตวยอ่ะตุกตุโกพรามูล่ะไพรออริตี้ไปเลยอตวยอ่ะปูปูเพราะอ่ะหลวมมูล่ะเอาเบลุโลออกมาไม่ได้กูเวเวปาว่าเรเวเวปูปูว่าเรตูตริฐาโพแค่ล่ะเรตริฐาโพเม่ล่ะเรอตวยอ่ะตุกตุโกพรามูล่ะไพรออริตี้ไปเลยอตวยอ่ะปูปูเพราะอ่ะหลวมมูล่ะเอาเบลุโลออกมาไม่ได้กูเวเวปาว่าเรเวเวปูปูว่าเรตูตริฐาโพแค่ล่ะเรตริฐาโพเม่ล่ะเรอตวยอ่ะตุกตุโกพรามูล่ะไพรออ
Remind yourself that
when you
sit
down, you don't
have
any thoughts.
Mm.
When you thoughts are thoughts, the mind is thinking. Every time you acknowledge it, the mind is thinking.
Okay, back to basics.
Acknowledge, yes, acknowledge doubt. He says doubt is a natural part of the mind. He says if we have faith, we will have doubt. You know, and you know, it's always there. It's just I don't know whether it becomes strong or not.
Uh-huh. It's right? A little strong. That's why I have never
felt it
before.
Yeah.
And it arose strong.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen everything kind of peeling back to greed, which I've been finding interesting in my awareness. Anger.
He says, so, you know, behind every thought is a quality that does the thinking for you.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, greed is thinking, sometimes anger is thinking, sometimes faith is thinking, and now doubt is thinking,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you mentioned there was aversion as well.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing the qualities that are behind the thinking mind and also recognizing this is thinking mind. Yeah, just really.
Does it all come from greed? All these defilements, are they all based in greed?
Delusion. It all starts from delusion. But you know, greed is so skillful a right-hand man to delusion, that you know they've put greed and delusion together right at the top. They put avijja and tanha together. Because greed is really so powerful. Yeah.
So now this is a question. So doing the meditation, I observing the sound. So there is a sound from outside this morning. The outside, based on the experience come up right away because we walk into the Dharma hall. We know I say it's rain. So that's based on experience, but then in my mind say that's just a thinking, that's just an object.
No, but you should know the mind is thinking.
But how do I know it's rain? It may not be rain anymore.
It might be your assumption. That's right.
This is truly an assumption here.
Okay.
It's not real.
Okay.
So that's why I was thinking. It that kind of like give a big kick to your confidence level though. Because, like, you know, it, with my experience, my confidence, it is raining,
mm-hmm.
right? But now, if we understand this is an object, and right now I'm sitting here without actually seeing it and looking at it and feeling it,
yeah.
And if I say rain, that means I'm making a really, really bad assumption. Because it may not be, but if it's an object, it's just an object, so don't think about it, don't, like, so that's why I'm kind of confused at that point, because you could lose confidence.
ဟုတ်လားဟုတ်လားတော့ပြောရစဉ်းစားတာများနေပြီသူကဒီမနေ့ကသူမိုးရေတန်ကြမ်းမို့အခုလာမသိမိုးရေတန်ကြတော့သူကဒီဟာချားဘူးနာဝရှိတော့သူစိတ်ကပြောတာမိုးတဲ့မိုးလို့ပြောပြောနောက်တော့သူကနောက်အတွေ့တစ်ခုကပြောဆိုတော့ဒါပေမဲ့မိုးမမသေးကြဘူးကိုတကယ်တမ်းမသိဘူးဒါတခြားအတန်လည်းဖြစ်နိုင်တယ်ဆိုတော့ဒါတကယ်တမ်းကိုတွေးอยู่တာကိုထင်တာ
ထင်တာအဲ့လိုမျိုးကိုအာယုံတစ်ခုတည်တိုင်းနဲ့ကိုအာရှိပါရှင်ကဒါမသိသေးဘူးเนาะတေချာမသိနေဘူးဒါပေမဲ့ဒါလို့ဟိုကျွမ်းနေအတွေ့အကြုံရပြောတာရဲ့ဒါပေမဲ့အခုတရားအထွေအော်ဒါပေမဲ့ဒါအတွေ့ဟိုအခုလက်တွေ့ထိရရောက်တော့မသိဘူးဆိုတော့ဒါသမအထင်တာပဲဖြစ်နိုင်တယ်လို့အဲ့လိုမျိုးခဏခဏဖြစ်ကိုယ်ကွန်ဖီဒန့်နဲ့မရော့သွားဘူးလားတဲ့အထင်မသိဘူးတော့အာကောင်းတာလေး
You know, if you know that your assumption is an assumption, your confidence should rise. Because, you know all aspects of your experience. One, from past experience, I know that this sound is probably rain. Okay? But right now, I don't know it experientially. It could be a different sound that sounds like rain. So, the current thought is an assumption, but from my past experience, this thought is possibly some percentage right. I will find out later. But you know every part of your mind and its mental process. Why would you lose confidence? You know the mind clearly. You won't get tricked by the mind's assumptions. You know, like somebody passes by and you think, oh, that person doesn't like me. And you can choose to think, you know, that is just a thought. That's my assumption. And you won't be ruled by the thought, just as you are not ruled by the thought. But why should it make you lose confidence?
The reason is losing confidence is, for example, it's almost like you have not finished the study or investigation. And you already say that, even though a past experience do give you that feeling of confidence and rain, but it may not be true, so you might can cause some other effect. Like, oh, I make a wrong decision. Like, oh, in the business, same thing. If we don't study enough, don't investigate enough, if you just say percentage, then you can make a wrong decision. I just want to know if that's the case, could I consider karma if it's wrong? Then I have the information at that point, so I'm just making that decision. I'm trying to apply to real world here when I'm
observing things. This is how we live our life. And then if we make a mistake, we have to learn from it, that's all, but that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my questions. This morning, when I come to the Dhamma Hall, first time I realized that I go somewhere, but I don't need a set destination.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I always think about the future. My mind is always goes to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Dhamma Hall, but I realize my mind is always go there, but I always ignore my physical steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this morning I realized that my mind doesn't need a set it as a destination, a target.
Yes.
Just walk.
Yes.
If I need to walk quicker, yes, faster, I can make my step bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to always think about the target.
Right.
So then I feel my body is never feels like super relaxed feeling.
Mm. So it became more
relaxed. Right. Also, now when I wear my socks morning, I just don't think other things. Just okay, I don't go anywhere.
Mm.
Just do this.
Yeah.
So now I feel very relaxed.
Okay.
Even
at the Mayo line, to say go, to say go, That's what it means to be in the present moment, or stay in the present moment. Yeah. Otherwise, we're in futuring. In Burmese, they say, you worry ahead, it's extra worry, but unnecessary worry. But it's a habit of the mind, right? To always be futuring, so we need to recognize it.
Yes.
American design, right?
He says, this is the American design. That's not true. It's
next,
the world design,
next,
I think.
Next,
it's the human design. The human design is to always think what
next. My brother
next.
Come to America, and he come back. We try to meditate. He aware his rising for him. Beginning rising, he noticed that he's waiting. End of the horizon. He noticed the beginning of falling. He waiting at the end of the way. The mind always thinking about things.
Right.
Yeah. The mind design, yeah. The present, we're not even thinking about Shiu Zhu Sao.
Human design
problem.
Don't worry.
Oh, Shiu Zhu.
And then,
what is the mind nature?
Yes.
Anxiety. worry. That's it. But we have much.
This is the nature of the anxious or the worried mind. Yes.
Also, sometimes if I feel not comfortable, mind not comfortable, then I try to check my body's sensation. Oh. I can find some part of
sensation.
Okay.
Sensation. Yes. Then I can find some part must be tight. Yes. Yes.
He says because anxiety makes the mind think these thoughts. So when we think these thoughts, the anxiety is already there. So of course the tension will be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I feel my awareness building up very good, and I'm very grateful. And yesterday I noticed that when people were talking, I was listening so detailed. I was seeing their intonation, and even when they were speaking Vietnamese, I was staying with it and looking at the beauty of the language and everything. But today I realized that in past, when people were talking, I was so fast. After a few sentences, I'll figure out what it is and I'll dismiss them. I know what they're talking and all that. Now, I find the opposite, where I'm listening in such detail, my mind is working very fast. I see judging, I'm trying analyzing, I'm even anticipating what answer Sayadaw is going to give. And so we are trained by school and college to think very fast and think so much. So now am I... What do I do with this? Should I try to reduce this, or
recognize it? Tu a dekhen tu seka tu apya mania tu Vietnam ni na tham ra tu techa tadi tham ra tu atan le dan le 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 tu a light ti ni de ta kha ma de law te te cha cha na ma thong bu re na bro tu a belo thi phit ni le so a yin lo a so yin ne lu ri a pyaw yin tan na ma tu a aw tu ba pyaw ma le so a sik ka pman pi da so tu a ma na thong no de lo phit twa le le business lo la pi da mae a khu cha ra byaw myan phit twa le tu lo pyaw ni dong tu a a the si ti ne tu sik ka judge de lo de analyze lo de a shin pya ba pyaw ma le so chu sin sa de a ra ni a myai be tu ti ni le a sik ka lo ni da o ta o shot aw ba lo shot aw lo aw ma la ba lo aw ma le
ho da de ri kaw la lo ti ni da
He says, when awareness is good, better, you notice all these functions that the mind... All these functions that the mind processes, and they've always been there, you're just noticing it now, there's no need to get rid of them, you just have to recognize them, and you are recognizing them, so that's all. You know, he says, you're noticing the nature of the mind and how it works. That's what you're here to do, it's fine. He calls it, you know, he calls the awareness, sometimes he calls it, he says it's like a receiver, you know, it's a receiver, and the receiver is getting better, so it can get more channels. So you're tuning into more and more of what's happening in the mind, so that's good.
I am ready for my next question.
Okay, but just in time. Okay.
It's more of a here's what's happening thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the last 3 years, I've struggled with pretty serious digestive issues that went very much undiagnosed for almost two of those, and I saw a lot of different people and got a lot of different opinions and wound up kind of working with diet and working with, and I got all these different opinions and a lot of them worked, some of them didn't, but I've found that now with kind of all of this information about what works for my body to eat and what doesn't and you know, amounts and all this, that like especially, you know, eating in the way that we are on this retreat where I don't know what's going to be served, and it's just kind of a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't even necessarily know what's in it, and it is, I mean, like, so anxiety-inducing. It's even the same for me, like, going to a restaurant and, like, looking at a menu. It's like, oh my God, okay. Like, what's gonna work, you know? And I'm always trying to bring mindfulness to this, but I've found this week that I realized yesterday that, well, like, after, like, every time I serve myself a plate and then I start eating it, or afterwards, I always have some kind of regret of, oh, I you know, I got too much of this, or, oh, I didn't realize this had this in it, and it's always, there's all this tension, and well, long story short, anyway, this morning I thought, well, I'll just try to, before I take breakfast, try to see all of these worries before they arise. Because usually I think
I'm... You already know what they are.
Yes. Because usually it's like, I think, you know, okay, I collect my mindfulness, and then I walk up to the table, and then it's just an onslaught. And then it's like, I can see that things are happening, and I can be mindful of it, but it doesn't help my decision-making,
right.
You know, to just see there's all this worry, you know. So I tried to, you know, go through and think about, kind of, okay, these are all of the different things that, and that it helped me a lot, and it made me realize that, like, I'm really only looking at food in, like, a negative way.
Mm.
It's like everything, I'm just seeing the problems.
Mm.
Like, oh, if I have too much of that, that's going to do this. Or you know, oh, I can't have that. You know, and everything was just seeing the problems in it, instead of, like, oh, they have this, and this is... Like, this is good for me, because it's not like all food is bad, you know.
It's just like,
so anyway, that was just kind of a new, my question is, well, like, so I had all this time this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I do on this retreat to, like, sit and look at all of these,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I don't always have that, and the reality of my life, too, as a musician, is that I'm traveling a lot, and I like to make all my home food, but I don't get to much of the time, and I'm eating in situations like this all the time, and just how to deal with that more.
ตัวต้องได้สิดิกูไอ้ล่ะเล่นล่ะนี่ล่ะโหดูเรียกแล้วอายยังจําไปได้อกุสวยกูเนเนอเนเนติล่ะดิเบหาบลาอสายตัวด้วยอโจษิเลยไม่ใช่เบหาบลาอสายตัวด้วยทุกข์ไปเลยกูบารู้ตัวติล่ะดิกูบายั่วมาหมดเลยดีโหมิ้วสะคั้นล่ะတော့อสาเนี่ยอายไปไอ้แต่มาบาปามาแล้วไม่ติတော့อสาช่วยได้เฉยมาทุกข์สึกอ่ะยังล่ะไม่รู้ซู้ใหญ่เนี่ยถ้าสาวอย่างมาไม่เอาล่ะดาเนี่ยๆสาวอย่างมาไม่ซู้ใหญ่ไส้ดิเนี่ยตัวอสาเนี่ยโหมิ
ဆိုရင်မူကဝင်လာရင်အခုအများဟာလေလက်ဘောမှာအဲဆိုရင်တကြီးနဲ့ဆိုတော့တတိနဲ့မကောင်အဲ့ချိန်မှာညံမုံမင်းဖြစ်တယ်လေအေးဘောဖွင့်အောင်ရမလိအဲ့တော့ तू ဘာဘာရီဆိုရင်လဲဆိုတော့ကြိုတင့်နေတည်တာအဲ့တော့အဲ့ဒီစိတ်ကိုအကုန်လုံးအခုကြည့်မယ်လဲဆိုတော့ तू မစားခင်တော့ဘာလို့သူစိတ်ကိုကြည့်တယ်လဲမစားခင်တော့ဒါလေးကဟိုဘာဖြစ်မအောင်ဆိုရင်လဲဟိုဘာလေးကဘာဖြစ်မအောင်ဆိုရင်လဲအဲ့ဒီများလေဒီချိန်မှာ तू ကကြိုပြီးတော့သူ့ဆိုရင်စိတ်တွေကိုအရင်ကြည့်လိုက်တော့ तू မစားနိုင်လဲမစားနိုင်လဲတုံးတက်တော့နည်းနည်းအစားတော့ဖက်ကိုရောက်သွားတော့လေအခုနည်းနည်းည
the guarantee is sorry, Rama, sound like that. She
did.
I'm a aim at time game. I was so in the gene. I didn't know. I'm going to know. A good Joe Titaro or Beha Saluya Sura Sika Mila. I'm a two or two the other mother. Two the other master or two a mere Lama young. Lama young to do Kanakana Joe Mara. So two a satua to check that to that. I'm not to me alone. I was so who Junya Junya Sura.
He says, you got to find your own way. You did, you found something today, you found a way today, right? You brought some wisdom into the mindfulness instead of just being mindful.
Right?
You'll find more. He spends a lot of time explaining, but really, we need to spend a lot of time practicing and exploring. We need to find our way, and for that, we need a lot of time. His teacher was a man of few words, really so few that you would be astounded. Like, you know, his teacher would say, why? You don't know? Okay, go and find out. That's, you know, his teacher was really a man of few words, a man of few words.
Yeah,
he says finding out yourself is real.
Mm.
Is real. And then it's effective. The only thing he teaches us is how to watch our mind and our body. Right? He teaches us how. The rest of it is up to us. We need to keep watching. Yeah, he says he can't be responsible for our discoveries. Yeah, he can sometimes try to tease out when we're confused. Right, when we're confused, he can try to tease out the strands that we cannot see are different for us. If we're depressed, he can help us to maybe feel better about it, see the positive in it, that we're aware. If we're feeling overconfident, he can help us to come back down to earth.
So I'd like to report on my investigation into my closet full of wretched thoughts. So you said they were just memories. But I was watching them mindfully,
mm-hmm.
with neutral awareness,
mm-hmm.
sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and with wishing they would go away awareness most of the time.
Neutral awareness that the cat lay there.
So then I decided that it'd be theoretically possible to open the windows, open the door, and sweep the closet out. And so I was watching them and watching what they were with the sense that that was absolutely possible. And so in the watching, I finally saw that they had nothing to do with me, but they had to do with the mind of the other. So that the other person in the exchange,
mm-hmm.
had a mind that created an action that was hurtful. And that what I was feeling was the hurt, and what was left out was the anger at being the brunt. So that hadn't been allowed into the memories at all. But it belonged there. So then I realized that I was personalizing the other's mind arising. So the other's mind arose and I took it as mine, or my fault,
okay.
or I somehow deserved. So I was making it mine and taking it on as my fault. But the plus side of that rather awful sequence is that it was all about me. So the whole ego piece of being, of having it all be about me was being fed, not skillfully, but nevertheless. So that's where I am. I've opened the windows and I've opened the door and I've decided it's not all about me and I have a right to my anger and I'll report in again another day.
Okay. ပရင်းပေါက်တွေတကားတွေဖွင့်ပြီးတော့သူအဲ့ဒါတွေကိုရှင်းပြဖို့ကောင်းတယ်တဲ့ဟုတ်ကဲ့ဟုတ်အဲ့တော့သူဖွင့်ပြီးတော့သူကြည့်တယ်တဲ့နောက်ပြီးတော့သူစိတ်ထဲမှာအခုဘယ်လိုစိတ်နဲ့ကြည့်လဲဆိုတော့ဒါကိုရှင်းလို့ရတယ်ဆိုတော့စိတ်နဲ့ကြည့်တယ်တဲ့ရှင်းလို့ရတယ်ဆိုတော့စိတ်နဲ့ကြည့်တော့သူဘာမြင်လဲဆိုတော့အော်တကယ်တမ်းဒီဟာတွေကအကုန်လုံးသူနဲ့မဆိုင်ဘူးဒါပေမဲ့သူနဲ့မ
ตุกขันธ์ซ่าราอูสิทธิ์ไข่ไปลูกขันธ์ซ่าไอ้เฉยมาตะแกรันตุดอดาเลยผิดอ่ะดีโลตุโลยะแล้วลูกสรุปดอดาผิดอ่ะตุดอดาไม่ท่าราเลยสิทธิ์ไข่ไปลูกอ่ะตุหมัดหมัดท่าราเลยตุดอดาตุไม่เลยอะกูตุไอ้ดอดาบาชื่อเลยลูกตุอติมาปิ๊ดเลยเลยดาใบแม้ดีหาพอตาพอตาเกียตมาอะดิถ้าดิอะกูลงชื่อไม่ได้อ่ะสิทธิ์แท้ตุเคยๆสิทธิ์แท้สิทธิ์เนี่ยแท้ๆเนี่ยเอา
สิทธิ์ชินล่ะพี่ส่วนอีหายตัวทุกข์ชินท่องแล้วเนี่ยทําไมตัวเกิดอ่ะแต่แม้ตัวบาติล่ะแล้วสรุปดีหาจี้จริงอภิบาก้าวแล้วสรุปตัวดีหาเนี่ยอกลงงานแน่ใส่นี่แหละงานแน่ใส่นี่แหละนอกไปแล้วตัวบาเปล่าเลยสรุปดีดอตะงามมาดีดอตะป่ายสั่นกล้วยสิแหละโหเอียนรู้ว่าตัวดีดอตะไม่ทาเลยดีดอตะผิดอ่ะดีอกูตัวกูเซ็ตชูหน่อยแล้วเอาลงไปเปล่าเลยเออสิเนี่ยหาอยู่ไอ้อายุเนี่ยใต้ไหนดีจะเข้าเนี่ย
So
Seattle says, you know, when we meditate, it is an opportunity in a, you know, in a healthy way to clear out these cupboards. It's a great opportunity. And so we should. He said, it takes time, but we should persevere. We can't persevere. It's a good undertaking. He said, one thing to remember, he said, when these memories come up, right, the story is old, but the emotions are fresh.
Mind right? is fresh.
Right? The mind is fresh.
I want it fresh. Maybe mind will be fresh.
The mind that presents you the memory is a fresh mind. Only the story is old, okay? The story is an often told one, but what you're feeling now, these emotions are arising now. So this is your opportunity to observe them.
So what I know is that the phrase, it's all about me, is false.
Mm-hmm.
Always false.
Mm-hmm.
And an ego-centered, it is never true.
All about me, so
that's right. It's not all.
Yeah, it's always about grasping and fixing and holding rather than allowing flow.
Yeah, memory mind, memory mind, the car, the bubble, the car, the bubble, the car.
He says, and for that flow to happen, he says, we need to realize that the mind is just the mind. When we realize it, then we can let go.
Right?
It just becomes. what's the past participle? It just becomes released, you know, once that realization comes to you. Yes, it will. Thank you.
Recycling tool.
Then it will become recycled. He said you will send it to the recycle bin, and it will be sent out to the trash. Yeah,
trash, much better.
Trash, recycles if you allow. Yeah, not recycled because it'll come back. Right? He said, but what he means is that it can be reused, it can be used in a useful way as a stepping stone for mindfulness and wisdom to arise. Yes.
When I was watching meditation, I walk around the Buddha statue, and I try to make my attention to every movement I have, you know. And then after 1 hour, I stop. As soon as I stop, and my head is spinning,
and you're walking around.
And like my floor is like moving, so I have to stay for a few minutes and then. So I should walk like that or I should do another way.
Maybe straight is better. Yeah, I'll find it. The retard is actually walk straight. Not good to walk round and round. Yeah, it does affect the body.
Thank you.
Okay.